We're going to look at Psalms 123, 124, and 125. Psalm 123, a song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to you whose throne is in heaven. As the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he shows us his mercy. Have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us, for we have endured much contempt. We have endured much ridicule from the proud, much contempt from the arrogant. A song of ascents of David. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. A song of ascents. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forevermore. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, for then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Peace be upon Israel.
And please turn back with me to Psalms 123 and 125. It's true, isn't it, that we all desire peace. Peace is something that we love and that we long for. I can't really imagine what it must be like to be in Syria or in Egypt this evening. The senseless violence, the killing, the permanent sense of unrest and of danger. You can well imagine, can't you, that Egyptians and Syrians tonight will be longing for peace. Settled, lasting peace. And I guess for all of us, in all of our different circumstances, all our different spheres of life, we too long for peace, don't we? Genocide and huge civil unrest aren't our immediate issues here. But what about tensions at work? An overbearing boss? An inconsiderate work colleague? An unruly customer? Or maybe the constant threat of redundancy? What about at home? Don't we long for peace in our families? Maybe there's a long-running family feud in your family and you just long for peace. Maybe it's in your marriage. It just feels like such a battle. You just long for peace, lasting, perfect peace with each other. And even in the church, don't we sometimes long for peace? A peace that means that we all get on all of the time, that there are never any tensions. You see, wherever we cut our lives, there is a sense in which we do all long for peace. Settled, lasting peace. We're spending these Sunday evenings over August looking at the Psalms of Ascent. Psalms that God's people would sing as they travel up to Jerusalem. They were, if you like, the travel CD for the car journey. Songs that they learnt and sung together as they travelled up to Jerusalem. And Psalms 123 to 125, and it's 125 where we're going to spend our time this evening. Which is, in those Psalms, they're spending time thinking about their background. And it would have particularly struck a chord with God's people. They are most likely, the Psalms written are most likely these ones, written when they just come back from exile. When they appear weak and vulnerable, when they had experienced decades of turmoil. In the language of Psalm 123, they had experienced contempt. from the nations. And Psalm 125, therefore, ends with these amazing words in that context. Verse 5, peace be upon Israel. There is a sense in which the content of this psalm gives us an insight, actually, into how the people of Israel, and indeed us tonight, can experience peace, settled, perfect peace. The word peace, shalom, is a huge Bible word. Shalom peace isn't just a good night's sleep. It's not just a temporary respite from your enemies until the dawn comes and they come at you again. No, shalom peace is perfect peace. The perfect peace that Israel longed for and that we all long for. Where the world is how we want it all to be. Where there is no conflict, where no government gasses its people. Where there are never any struggles. Where there is only harmony. That is the peace that is being talked about here. So here's our first question. Who's in? Who gets this peace? Or more specifically, who are Israel? Verse 5. Who is it who experiences this peace? Who's in and who's out? Well, have a look at verse 4. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. God's people seem to be those who are good. They are the ones who will experience this peace. And look up to verse 1. Those who trust in the Lord. Those who don't turn to the idols of the nations around them, but trust in the Lord. So that's who they are. Secondly, what are they like? Well, have a look at verse 1. They're unshakable. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. Now, to a Jew, Mount Zion was no ordinary hill. This mountain was God's mountain. Obviously, God owns all the mountains. He made all of them. But this mountain was special for the people. It was the focus of all the covenant promises. So Exodus 15, verse 17. You will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. It was where God's presence was. It was where he ruled from. Psalm 11, verse 4, speaking of Mount Zion, the Lord in his holy temple, the Lord's throne is in the heavens. It's a place of safety too, where God's people belonged. And God loves this mountain. Psalm 87 verse 2, the Lord loves the gates of Zion. The psalm isn't, as it were, making a mountain out of a molehill. This mountain is really, really special. And verse 1, if God's people trust him, if God's people trust the Lord, then they will be like this mountain. Well, in what way? We'll look at the second half of the verse. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. Those who trust in the Lord are unshakable. There's a sense in which God, the mountain, and the people are so intimately connected that to shake one is to shake them all. Or more accurately, if you cannot shake one, then you cannot shake any of them. Mount Zion is God's very throne. It is absolutely unshakable. It's going nowhere. Last week, my family spent the week in the Lake District with my extended family. And four of us climbed up, minus my 7-month son, I hasten to add. Four of us climbed up Scarfell Pike. And most people do it from the west, but we did it from the east. And to get there, you have to climb up a gully. Quite a long valley. And as you round a corner, you see something called Great End. It is one huge rock face that it just seems to go up forever. Incredibly imposing. It just seems impassable. Well, you can imagine Israel singing this song, Psalm 125, as they travel through the mountains in convoy towards Jerusalem. The mountains and the hills rising up around them. God's people, like the mightiest of mountains, are absolutely unshakable. They're going nowhere. What does that mean? Well, it means that God is faithful, unshakable, reliable, dependable. Just like the mountain is solid and unshakable, so the Lord is unchanging. You can always depend on him. And Mount Zion is even better because not only is it unshakable, not only does it withstand everything you could ever throw at it, but at the end of verse 1, it is eternal. It's going nowhere, ever. Nothing can change it, nothing can shake it. It is eternally unshakable. And so that's verse 1. God's people are unshakable. Verse 2. God's people are protected. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. This time, the mountains that rise up around Israel provide safety from their enemies. No fortress in Lord of the Rings, no castle on a hill is as safe as God's people. Why? Well, because the mountains are just a picture, aren't they? Because verse 2, it is God himself who surrounds his people. To get at God's people, you have, as it were, got to go through God himself. In all his majesty, splendor, in all his faithfulness, and in all his power. If you're on the inside, you just never have to worry, would you? It is a place of perfect peace. So God's people are unshakable, verse 1, protected, verse 2, and verse 3, they are uncompromising. Verse 3, the scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land of the righteous, for then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. The language describes the world as it currently was for them, with the scepter of the wicked over them, of their enemies over them. Scepter is a symbol of power, of authority, of control. If you wield a scepter over something, then you have power over it. Well, so it was for God's people. It felt like the scepter of their enemies was over them. The nations of Assyria and Babylon had devastated them. And with no hope of that changing, you could quite see how they might have been tempted to compromise, can't you? Lord, they've got our land. We're going to have to go somewhere else. Or, Lord, they've got our land. You obviously don't love us. So we're going to find who does. If Israel knew that nothing was going to change, that their situation would always be as bad as it was, then they might be tempted to compromise. But, verse 3, the scepter will not remain. Because if it did, then God's people might be tempted to evil. But God's people do not compromise. Because they know that suffering and injustice will not go on forever. And so it is that the psalmist rightly says, verse 4, do good to those who are good. Those who are unshakable and uncompromising. Lord, banish the evil ones and do good to the upright in heart. Who is it who gets the peace that we all want? It is those who are unshakable and uncompromising. Those who trust in the Lord to protect them. Those who are good. Those who are upright in heart. Well, I wonder how that makes you feel. Confident? Secure? At peace? Not me. In fact, it makes me feel pretty terrible. Because frankly, Psalm 125 is more than a few sizes too big for me. Verse 1. I am not unshakable. In fact, I'm really rather shaky. And don't you feel that too? Rather than being unshakable, faithful to the Lord and faithful to others, we're just so flimsy, aren't we? Often wrecked by worry and fear. We're not faithful, unmovable people, are we? So often we are faithless. It doesn't take that much to move us, does it? Whether it be the phone call that we dread or the exam results we fear, far from being unshakable, we are so shaky, aren't we? What about verse 2? I doubt his protection. We're so quick, aren't we, to doubt God and to lose confidence in him. I'm so quick to feel unsure about God and his promises and what he's doing with my life. Will he really protect me? And verse 3, uncompromising. How often have I given in to compromise when I feel under pressure? When I've doubted that God will bring justice to the world and so take matters into my own hands. When I've acted like it's impossible for me to resist sin, for example, and I've compromised, I've fallen short. And so it is that verses 4 and 5 do not make comfortable reading, do they? Because we are not good, are we? We are not upright in heart. No, our ways are so often crooked, aren't we? That word crooked is a really, really strong word. Contorted. Our ways, our words, our thoughts are corrupt, dripping in sinful thoughts and wrong desires. My heart, rather than being upright, is a cesspool of wrong thoughts and desires. Actually, verse 5, we deserve to be banished with the evildoers, don't we? And so if I want peace in this world, well, actually, I've got a problem, haven't we? Haven't we all? Because actually, we're part of the problem. Many of you will know the famous story of the Times asking the question, what's wrong with the world? And they asked people to write in. And G.K. Chesterton famously wrote in simply with these words. What's wrong with the world was the title. I am. Signed, G.K. Chesterton. You see, if there is to be peace, with the good blessed and the evil judged, with justice been done and be seen to be done, then that is bad news for us this evening, isn't it? There's a real sense in which I can't sing this psalm, in which no one can sing this psalm. Well, almost no one. As part of the music team here at Spicer Street, we very occasionally make the mistake of putting a song in the key too high. That means no one can sing it. And you know the awkward moment when we're all singing and the tune gets higher and higher and gradually more people start dropping out until it's just a few trained singers left singing. Well, there's a sense in which it's true with Psalm 125, isn't it? The song just doesn't seem like it's for us. It's too high. I can't sing it. And so as we stand back, it soon becomes obvious that this isn't a choir item. This is a solo. You can imagine a young Jesus, can't you? Sitting in the back seat of his parents' car on the way to Jerusalem, learning the journey psalms, learning Psalm 125. And maybe as he's singing along in the car to Psalm 125, he realizes that this is really true of him. He's unshakable. He's always been faithful to the Lord. He's like Mount Zion in every sense. He's always trusted the Father's protection. He's uncompromising. He's never sinned. And so, as it were, as he grew up, people around him stopped being able to sing this song until he was the only person left singing. Because the description of Israel in Psalm 125 was and is supremely true of him. He was unshakable, even to death on a cross. Not my will, but your will be done, he said. In the moment when he was under the most pressure, the moment when the scepter of the wicked seemed to be upon him, he didn't compromise. He trusted the Lord. Jesus Christ, and him alone, at the top of his voice and with no embarrassment, could sing verse 4, couldn't he? Do good to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart, because he is good. And so who is it who deserves the shalom peace of verse 5? It is Jesus, and Jesus alone. But the amazing thing is this. Jesus goes to the cross to save, to protect the people of verse 5. People who are crooked, corrupt, people who are broken. Jesus foregoes the protection he deserves and he is shaken so that we might be unshakable in him. Jesus, the innocent, good man, is treated as though he was crooked in our place so that we might be good in him, in God's sight. You see, in Christ, this psalm becomes gospel for us, doesn't it? If I am united to him, then what is true of Jesus is true of me. So in Christ, I am unshakable. I'm united to God himself. And so whatever is going on around me, I can stand firm in the knowledge that I cannot be shaken because I'm united to Jesus Christ. And so over time, I become more like him, more reliable, more trustworthy, more faithful to him. As I rejoice that because I trusted in Jesus and I continue to trust in Jesus, I cannot be shaken. Verse 2, I am protected. We often sing, don't we? No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hands. There is no enemy in all the earth or in the universe that can penetrate the mountain range and wrench me from the arms of Christ. He has surrounded those he has saved to be his people. Verse 3, I am uncompromising in Christ. I have the very righteousness of Christ. God couldn't be more pleased with me in Christ. And so over time, I become more uncompromising like him. So when temptation comes to compromise, when the wicked seems so strong, I know that God will take care of evil in Christ. I can trust him. He has taken care of my sin. And one day he will judge the sin of those who have not turned to him. Justice will be done and be seen to be done. And so when I'm tempted to compromise on a client deal, maybe you're tempted to do this, you're tempted to compromise on a client deal at work when everyone else does it, or when you're tempted to join in the bullying at school maybe, because everyone else does it, the pressure's on, we need not compromise. Because Jesus reigns. The scepter of the wicked will not remain. We can trust him. And so it is that those who simply turn and trust in the Lord, in the language of the New Testament, are united to Jesus Christ. These people get peace. Perfect shalom peace. The unshakable peace of Christ. One day we will experience it fully and perfectly. But even now as we wait, we experience some of the blessing, don't we? The joy of knowing that we are at peace with God. The joy of being reconciled to each other in the local church. The often painful joy of turning our backs on sin. The sin that has so wrecked a once perfect world. Christ offers us unshakable peace. And he offers it to you this evening. And so if you aren't yet a Christian, can I plead with you to see that verses 4 and 5 will happen. The Lord will bless Christ and those undeserving people who are united to him. And he will banish those who have turned to and persisted in crooked ways. And what could be more crooked than rejecting God's own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Please do not stay with the evildoers. Do not be banished with them. Instead, come to Jesus and receive forgiveness, hope, protection, and the unshakable peace he offers. Only in Christ can you experience the perfect peace that we all yearn for. It does exist, and Jesus is offering it to you this evening. If you will come to him, turn from your sin, and put your trust in him. And if you are following Jesus Christ this evening, then please rejoice and press on with living for Jesus. As we go out into the week, we can rejoice in the unshakable peace of Christ, can't we? I don't know what you are going to face this week, but whatever it is, knowing that we have the unshakable peace of Christ, a peace that we will one day experience in its fullest sense in the new heavens and the new earth, this peace means that we can stand firm in every and any situation. Maybe you didn't get the GCSE results you wanted and needed. It's okay. The Lord surrounds you if you are trusting in Jesus. In the eternal perspective, it's fine. Maybe you're really suffering at the moment in all sorts of ways. And you're starting to think, I can't carry on. you have the peace of Christ. The Lord will never let you go. His love surrounds you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Maybe you feel the heat of battle with sin acutely tonight. You have the peace of Christ. You are counted as righteous before him, before the holy God, perfect, good, and unshakable in him. You battle forgiven sin. It's okay. We are at peace with God in Christ. And that liberates us to fight sin, doesn't it? The peace that we all long for is only found in Jesus Christ, isn't it? And so trust him. Trust in him and keep on trusting in him. Because the peace that he brings is absolutely unshakable and eternal. Let's take a moment of quiet and then I'll pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that in Christ we have peace. Shalom peace. Father, we rejoice in the peace that we already experience. Peace with you. And Father, in our hearts we long for that great day when we will experience the unshakable peace in all of its fullness. Father, our hearts ache for it. And so, Father, we pray that as we wait for that peace, to experience it in all its fullness, we pray that we might wait well. We pray that you would help us to trust and keep on trusting your Son, that you might change us to be more like him, more faithful, more trusting, more obedient people. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.